of chapters in St. James, from chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. These are probably my four or five favorite chapters in the entire book of the Bible. In fact, chapter 6 is my favorite chapter of don't look now, okay? Some of you are starting to look now. I'm going to go read chapter 6 right now. Don't do that right now, okay? Chapter 6 is probably my favorite Old Testament passage of Scripture chapter in the entire Bible. Now, Naaman, obviously, we find is a great man. He's a man that is going to be healed of leprosy. The man of God told him to go dip down seven times in Jordan, and we can talk about the significance of what Jordan is. We can talk about the significance of seven times. We can talk about the significance of leprosy that Naaman had. The chapter itself, the passage of Scripture in chapter 5 is really about Naaman, and it's about leprosy, and it's about the man of God, and it's about how God healed him miraculously. That's what it's about. But there is another story that I believe that is insignificant to most people, but is mainly significant to us today. It is a story that gets overlooked, not just here in chapter 5, but a lot of times in Scripture it gets overlooked. And that is the story of a little maid that was forced from her home to serve Naaman and his wife. Look with me again in verse number 2. We're going to talk about this little maid. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." We can talk about today the great miracle of Naaman's leprosy being healed. And I think that's the major part of the Scripture, and I believe that's the intent of chapter 5, without a question, that Naaman has leprosy, and he's going to be miraculously healed. That is the main point of the text. But you understand this morning that the reason why Naaman was able to be healed and was able to be sent to Elisha, that was beforehand sent to the king of Israel, that would later go dip down seven times in Jordan and come clean out of the waters of a muddy Jordan, was because of a little servant maid that we don't even know her name. It's amazing that the theme of the Bible has a lot to do with big names and a lot of great leaders and a lot of great people. That's all through Scripture, but it's also really amazing to see that there are a lot of no-name people in Scripture that did a lot of big things for God. Today, I want to talk to you really about three things that I think we can learn, that I have learned from this little maid servant that doesn't have a name in Scripture, but that we can learn and we can see God doing some things in her life. First thing that we're going to talk about is God's perfection today. And I'm going to give you two words, but I'm going to give you a sentence to write down. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this sentence down. I think it'll be helpful to you as it has been for me. So let's talk about God's perfection this morning and concerning this little maid's life. And what I want you to write down beside that is this: God does things that we may not understand. A lot of times in our life, God does things that we as human beings may not understand. Now, again, surrounded by this great miraculous healing of going down to a muddy, dirty, nasty place of Jordan and dipping down seven times, besides that, there is another great story in this, and that is the story of this little maid. You understand, this story is not just a haphazard story or an accident story. This isn't just another story. Notice what happened with this little maid in her life. She was taken captive out of her own land. Understanding this morning, she was taken from her home against her will. Now, I know without a doubt that this morning, if somebody were to come to your home at 6 o'clock this morning and would beat your door down and go to your bedroom and grab you and put you in a vehicle and take you off, you wouldn't like it too much. Can I get an amen right there? He was a little maid, probably a youth, probably a teenager, maybe a young lady, and she is taken from her home captive. She obviously don't want to leave her family. We don't see that in Scripture, but nobody wants to leave their family. She obviously don't want to leave her homeland. She was taken captive. The word captive has the idea that it's in bonds or in chains, that she was forced to go out of her home 100 miles or more north to live in a place that she didn't want to live and probably do things that she didn't want to do. She was a slave. She was a maid. She wasn't living in freedom in her own home to do what she wants to do, to enjoy the life that she wanted to live growing up as a child or as a teenager, as a young lady. She was living in a captain's home, serving basically being a slave, a maid servant for this captain and his wife. She's not even close to being home. She's not in contact with anybody in her family. She's doing things that she don't want to do. But understand this and make sure we don't miss this. God's perfection on things in our life is always right. Even though we may not understand why he pulled us and ripped us away from our home, so to speak, he's always perfect in what he does. I'm not asking you this morning, and neither did God ask this little maid, if she agreed or understood or had knowledge or is aware or can figure it all out. He didn't do that. She was pulled from her home. God much of the time does things we don't understand. We look throughout Scripture, we see that probably the way that we would do it would be different the way than God did it. And much of what Israel and the Israelites had problems with, God came as a little baby instead of a reigning king and came down with great power. He came as a little human baby born in a barn with animals. We would do it differently, but God did it differently. And so we may not understand what God does, but he's always perfect by what he does. Listen to this. A lot of times we look at our lives and we say, God is doing this because of this, or God is doing this because of this, or I see God doing this and I understand it. And even though we think we understand it, years later or weeks later or months later, we look back and say, that's really not what God was doing. We didn't understand it then, but now we may understand it a little bit better. This great lesson from this servant slave of a young lady, of a maid, that's much of the time forgotten about in a bigger story, teaches us a great lesson that we may not understand what God is doing, but he's always perfect by what he does. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what it is that God is ripping out of your life and taking you away from or doing something in your life. I don't know what that is, but I can tell you, you may not understand it, but God is perfect in what he does. I can try to figure it out and I can try to work out on my own, but what I need to trust and what I need to believe is God knows what he's doing and he is perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. There's no accidents with God. So for God to allow this young lady to be ripped from her home against her will was according to his perfection. So we see God's perfection this morning, that God does things much of the time we may not understand in our life. You know, there's songs in our hymn book that say something like this, that we'll know all about it by and by. Or it may say something like this, that we may not know now, but one day we'll know. I don't know if we'll truly know, but I'm not sure one day we're going to really care. I mean, now we care because we want to know and because we want to try to figure things out. But I think in the end, and I'm talking about the end, when we are rejoicing with no pain, no problems, no sin, or nothing like that in heaven, I'm not sure we're really going to even care about the issues and the circumstances that we face in this life. God's perfection, understanding this little girl, teaches us today that God does things that we may not understand. And I have to admit to you today, I don't understand a lot of times what God does in my life. And you can be the most spiritual person in this room and still not understand what God's doing. You know that he's perfect. You know he has a plan. You know he's doing something, but you don't know and understand what he's doing. And I don't know when you see God's perfection in this little lady's life, this little servant maid's life, but we see God's placement in her life. So the first thing I wanted you to understand today, and I wanted us to learn today, was that God does things that we may not understand. The second thing I want you to think about is God's placement for this girl's life. Why did God take her from her home and place her specifically where he placed her? How many believe God's perfect? Let me see your hand. Okay. So it's not by happenstance that not only God pulled her from her home, but it's not only just happenstance that that didn't happen that way, but it's also perfect that God placed her specifically where he placed her at. It wasn't just enough that God said, I'm going to pull you from your home. That wasn't the main purpose. That wasn't the main placement. It was specific to the fact that God wanted her at Naaman's house. Here's a sentence I want you to write down with this, these two words, God's placement. God will always place you to help somebody. God will always place you to help somebody. No matter where you are placed or what you are doing, or no matter if you like it or not, or want to be there or not, or understand it or not, I guarantee you something. God has put you there for someone else and not yourself. Now, you yourself will probably grow, no doubt. We're going to learn some really cool things from this little lady here, from this maid servant. But life is not about us. Ministry and doing what God wants to do is not about me, is not about you, it's about others. That's evident in Scripture. That's evident in the example of Jesus Christ, who left the riches of glory to come to the poor nature of earth to do what? To die for us. So it's not about us. God will always give us opportunity wherever he puts us to help and to be a blessing to others. This maid servant showed compassion when she didn't have to, or maybe even didn't want to. Remember the story. She was pulled from her home, and guess who she was pulled from her home by? These people. Naaman, who's the captain, who's the leader, he's the head, he's the top dog. And they went into Israel and took captive people out of Israel, and Naaman's the leader, and she's in his home. I don't know about you, but I tell you what I want to do when I serve him tea. Put a little something in there. It's going to get rid of him pretty quick. That's what I would want to do. So y'all look at me like y'all so spiritual. Y'all do the same thing. Maybe not a bunch of poison, just a little bit. You think about this. She was the reason why Naaman had the opportunity to be healed by God. This maid was the reason. Now think about it for a moment. She was not bitter over these circumstances. Can you believe that? I mean, I just want to be honest with you. I want to be totally, I'm a step away from the pastor spiritual, and I'm going to be honest with you. I would be stinking bitter. If he had leprosy, do you know what I want to do? And I knew about Israel, I knew about the God that could heal him, you know what I want to do? Let him die. But she was not bitter. At least in her actions, she didn't show that she was bitter, because she told her mistress that there was someone and somewhere that he could be helped.
You realize a lot of times, instead of trying to find someone to help in the placement where God has us, whether we want to be there or not, a lot of times we find ourselves wallowing in bitterness rather than being a blessing to someone else. The choices in our life are very small. We can be bitter, or we can be a blessing. We can help, or we can hurt. We can keep going, or we can stop. God's placement for this little girl is probably not where she wanted to be, but she was not bitter. She was not selfish. Obviously, by the fact that she's a maid, she's serving Naaman and his wife, specifically his wife, but she wasn't selfish. She didn't keep something to herself. She didn't keep the news and the idea that God could do something to herself. She wasn't apathetic. She cared about him. She cared about her mistress. She cared about who she was serving. She had a compassionate attitude towards them. Here's something else. She wasn't scared or fearful. Think about someone for a second. Think about if she opened her mouth and it didn't turn out the way that it turned out. Not only is Naaman not going to be healed, but he's not going to be happy about it, is he? And guess who's going to get the brunt of it? Probably this little maid's going to be put to death. You know why? They can go get another maid. They can go find somebody else somewhere down the road. They can go take captive another young girl, and they can serve them. But she wasn't scared or fearful to open up her mouth and tell them, hey, there's somebody somewhere that can help you, that can heal you. I wrote this word down in my notes, and it's just the word attitude. Something I struggle with a lot, probably something you struggle with a lot. Much of the time when God does things in our lives, we don't understand it. We learned that this morning. We don't understand it. And maybe the fact we don't want to go where he wants us to go. We don't like the placement where he has us. Here's what we do. We have a bad attitude. Anybody else had a bad attitude before? Bunch of liars. I'm telling you something. About five hands went up. I need to change my message around today. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that it's the most comfortable thing to do in our lives, but I'm saying no matter the placement God has for us, he's got us there for a reason. And he placed this young lady without a doubt to help a dying man. Let me ask you a question. Instead of complaining about what God's doing in your life, why don't you look around and try to help somebody where you're at in your life? Instead of complaining about the situation that you're in and the problem that's setting in and the placement that where you are, instead of doing that and griping and complaining about that, look for people around you that are dying spiritually or that need your help and find somebody to help. Don't be bitter. Don't be scared. Don't be apathetic. Don't find yourself with a bad attitude. But look as this little girl did in 100 miles away from home, not wanting to be there, but saying, I'm going to make the best of what God is doing, and he has me here for a purpose. I'm going to help Naaman find healing in his life. I want you to understand something. Nobody's praising. I guarantee you, maybe somebody, but there may be few people in this world right now that are preaching, besides myself, that's preaching on the little maid with no name in 2 Kings chapter 5 today. Probably most people are preaching on snow somehow. I mean, figure out a message about snow. But I guarantee you, not many people even know about this little girl or even read about this girl, or when they read this passage of Scripture, just overlooked her, and she wasn't getting big recognition. She wasn't getting big praise, but she didn't have a bad attitude because she cared about Naaman and she wanted to see him helped. We see God's perfection, that God does things that we may not understand, but he's right. He's always right. He's perfect. God's placement is that God always places you to help someone. We're not on the island. We're not here to please ourselves. It is for someone else. But then last of all, this morning, I want you to see from this little maid servant, not only God's perfection, God's placement, but number three, God's purpose on her life. Obviously, directly. The purpose was to help Naaman find healing. But I think there's a greater understanding here of her purpose in life. I want you to think about something. Write this sentence down beside that, and I think this will help us this morning. God is always working his plan in our life. God is always working his plan in our life. No matter where or what is going on in your life, get this, don't miss it. No matter what it is in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on, I don't care what it is, name anything you want to name right now. Watch this. God never stops working his plan in your life. Ever. Can you believe that? That no matter what it is, no matter where you are, no matter the situation, it could have been the most gut-wrenching, hard, difficult, most horrific situation in your life. Think about this, that God never stops working his plan in your life. Just bring the example of this little maidservant, the roller coaster she went through. Think about being a young lady, being pulled from your home, taken captive in bonds, being away from your family, your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, the home that you knew, the culture you knew, everything that you knew, being pulled from your home and now being a slave in Syria. To the very man that ordered, that carried out the attack on Israel. Think about the roller coaster that she went through. Think about her emotions. Think about her feelings. Think about this, that in her darkest, probably in her darkest times, God showed her her purpose. In the most difficult, dark times in her life, God revealed to her her purpose. You know what that means? It means it's usually not the mountaintop experiences that God does his best speaking and talking. Even though that's where we want to be, don't we? We want to be praising God and worshiping God. We want everything to be going great. We want the bank accounts to be full. We want all the relationships to be great. We want everything to be wonderful on top here. We want to live there and be there. But God does his best work when we're in the most difficult and dark places. God was still working his plan in her life, even though she was taken captive from her home. No matter how bright or how dark it may be, no matter how tough or easy it may be, God still works his plan in our life. Let me just say this. There are no setbacks in God's plan. There are no setbacks in God's plan. Now, we may think it's a setback. But let me remind you, you're not God, and neither am I. Here's what the Bible teaches, that God has a plan. And you know what? There are no setbacks in the eyes of God, and God knows what we need, when we need it. He knows exactly where we are and how we got there, when we're going to get to where we're going. He knows that. There are no setbacks with God. No matter where we are in our journey, he's always working his plan for our life. I love A.W. Tozer and C.S. Lewis, a lot of those type of authors. I love reading after them. And A.W. Tozer, I won't quote him what he said, but in one of his books dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit, A.W. Tozer talks about how much of the time you can't see it with your eyes, what God is doing. How much of the times we can't fathom it in our mind. But there are eyes of faith and hearts of trust that must continue on believing this, that even if we can't see it, and even though we may not feel it, he's still working on our behalf for his plan. C.S. Lewis said, "Rest assured, though you may not see what he is doing something. And that something is for our purpose." Think about this for a second. Think about every step of the way in your own life. Everybody in this room has been here before. You've been here before. And probably many times you've been here before. Every step of the way, no matter here or here, his purpose was still being worked out in your life. If you don't believe that, you got to take away some scripture in the Bible. If you can't get that in your mind, you're going to have to pull scripture away out of the Bible. Because you know what the Bible says? For all things work together for the good. You can't take away those two words, all things. Everything. Good things, bad things, hard things, easy things. All things. The things that you didn't want to go through or go through, God works those according to his plan for our purpose. The things that hurt, the things that feel good, the things that are enjoyable, the things that are not enjoyable, all things work together for the good. All things. What do we learn from this no name maid? Is that God was working in her life even in difficult and dark times. I don't know where it is that God has you right now. But I can guarantee you this. No matter where it is and what it is, mark it down, take it to the bank, be confident. He's working his plan in your life. He's working his plan in your life. And I firmly believe today that he won't stop until he's done working that plan in your life. And if he's done working that plan in your life, guess what? You're going to be better off because we'll be with him. But as the Bible says, he will finish it. He will complete it. And that may mean another turn that you may not want to turn. It may mean another valley that you don't want to go down. But he's working in our life. God's perfection. We learned today that God does things that maybe a lot of times we don't understand. God's placement. That God places us and puts us and gives us opportunity wherever we are, whatever that is, to help somebody, to be a blessing to someone greater than ourselves. And then God's purpose is that God is always working. God is always working in our lives for his purpose. I remember when I graduated from Bible college. I remember that my senior year, I had the privilege to work at a church in Palatka, Florida, Temple Baptist Church. A good friend of mine, Ed Wilds, is the pastor. He's still the pastor of that church. Been there for many years. Small church. And I got to do many things that semester as an intern of the church. Preach and teach Sunday school and lead music and sing and things like that. And just be a blessing to the church. And one particular couple in the church became close to me. It was an older couple in the church and found a great delight in their friendship, mainly for the fact because they had always taken me out to eat after church. And there was a Sonny's barbecue right down the road, and Sonny's and Golden Corral right beside each other, so I knew I could get Sonny's or Golden Corral, and I wouldn't have to pay for it. So, I mean, it wasn't all about that, but it was a large part about that. But, you know, college kid, you didn't have any money, you take all the food you can get. But really got close to this couple, and I remember when I graduated from Bible college, even came up to my graduation and gave me a wonderful gift. And no, it wasn't a gift card to Golden Corral or Sonny's or anything. Gave me a substantial gift in my graduation. Her husband, during all that time, didn't know this, but her husband was dying of cancer. He didn't know it. He was dying of cancer. And I remember going back to visit. This was months later, after they had found out and after he had been through treatments and things. And those of you who know what cancer does and know even what treatments do and all that, know what I'm talking about. I walked into this couple's house, and probably like many of you have experienced something like this before. You know, I had geared myself up for what I was fixing to go into. You ever done that before? You just kind of put yourself together, and I was kind of getting the spiel ready. I was thinking, I was getting the Bible verses on my head, you know. I was getting the things I was going to say, you know. He's got this under control. Yeah, I mean, I was getting it all together. I was getting it all worked out. I walked in, and probably one of the biggest smiles I'd ever seen in my life. This guy who was days away from dying had the biggest grin on his face. I mean, he was as if he was looking at me, you know, thinking, I'm not the one with the problem. You seem to be the one with the problem, you know, because I was coming in with a frown, you know, this preacherly look, you know, and he's got a huge smile on his face. I walked in, and my heart was already kind of breaking and tearing, and this guy was smiling, and the whole time, listen to this, he didn't complain one time. I didn't hear him gripe about his pain or what he was going through or death, not one time. He spent mainly that hour trying to encourage me and help me and be a blessing to me. And I was there to be a blessing to him, but it turned out the opposite. He just days later would die. The Lord would take him on home. But I never forgot that even in that darkest hour for him, he understood God was still working his plan in his life. When I first moved here, I remember, some of you may know this name when I call it, Jeff Mathis took me to see a guy by the name Mitchell Smiley. Remember that, Jeff? Didn't even know who Mitchell Smiley was. I heard about him. Didn't even know him. I was just here just a little bit of time. And Jeff said, I want you to take you to meet somebody. And so I did the same thing. I got the pastoral thing. I was getting geared up. I was ready to go in. And he was laying on his bed. I mean, just days from dying. I went in there to just, I mean, lift his spirits and be the biggest blessing. I walked out the one with the blessing. You remember that? Unbelievable. You can't change or fix or manipulate what God is doing in your life. So you might as well get on board and begin to be a blessing to others, because God is going to do what's best in your life, whether you want it or not, whether I want it or not. Here's a little maid that did an amazing thing for Naaman. Why? Because she said, okay, God, if this is what you have for me, if this is your plan, let's go. God's perfection, God's placement, and God's purpose on our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And it's amazing to think that you're always doing something for that purpose that you have for us. That there's not a battle, that there's not a circumstance, there's not an event that doesn't happen in our lives where you're taken by surprise, or it's an accident or happenstance. God, everything that happens, you're working in our life. Thank you for helping us teaching us through this little maid that the Bible doesn't even mention her name, but who understand that these great lessons that help us in our Christian life. God, help us to know that even though we may not understand what you're doing, that you have a plan. God, help us to realize that we are here to be a blessing, to help people, no matter what that plan is. God, help us to continue to believe and trust that you're working in our life. No matter good or bad, right or wrong, you're working. And we're thankful for that. With the heads bowed, their eyes closed.